back in church tonight. Good to see you all. I'm going as Clark Kent tonight. Put the glasses on, you know, so if you're wondering, you know, the allergies got the best of me this afternoon. Plus, I said I wanted to look as cool as Ellie tonight, so I put the glasses on. So, but good to be back in church. Good to have this good sunny weather. Hope everybody had a good afternoon, got something to eat, maybe you took a nap. But it's just good to be back in church. I'm glad to be with my brothers and sisters in the Lord. I love church. It's bittersweet for me on Sunday night. I'm happy because I'm in church, but I also know that I got to wait till Wednesday till I get to come back. So I'm glad to be here. Now, if you would, I'd ask you if you can to please stand with me and turn to page 220. We are going to sing Sweet Hour of Prayer, page 220.
Do things for our good and our benefit. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. If you would, turn with me to page 163. We are going to sing My Redeemer. If you're thankful that you have a Redeemer, let's sing it out to Him tonight. Page 163. If you'd like to and you hadn't had a chance yet, they're over here to sign and just give them a little message. I'm sure it would be a blessing to them. And for our last song here, we will go over to page 368. Page 368.
Thank you.
please.
Amen. Amen. It's nap time. Amen. I'm going to get some lawn chairs. Go outside and sit on some lawn chairs. Amen. Now, this evening, we're going to continue on in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. The songs we sang, at least two of them, talking about prayer. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, if you have a Bible this evening, over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Last week we talked about, rejoicing evermore. This Sunday here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, one small verse again with three words in it, but a lot there. Paul talks as he's finishing up this letter to those at Thessalonica. He says here in 1 Thessalonians 5, we'll start in verse 15. He says, See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and all men. He goes on to say in verse 16, rejoice evermore. And then in verse 17, he says, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, dear God. I thank you for this final service tonight. Lord, I pray you just lead and guide and direct, dear God. Give us what we need out of your word. Help us to glean all that we can from these three words here, pray without ceasing. Lord, for your glory, for your honor, and help us to see the importance of prayer. Lord, that you be glorified, and we ask these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. So the Bible says here, Paul states, pray without ceasing. He asks, as he finishes up here, this church to pray without ceasing, to pray continually, he says to other churches, as we'll see, praying always, pray without ceasing, because of the importance that there is in prayer. Why? Question I have tonight, why should one pray without ceasing? Why is it so important to basically be in a continual state of prayer? Now, I don't think what Paul's talking about in the Bible here is being down on our knees in a prayer closet the rest of our life praying. I think what this verse means here, when he talks about pray without ceasing, is to be in a consistent state to where you're in fellowship with the Lord. In a consistent state to where you're in fellowship with the Lord, to where he's talking to you and you're talking to him. He's talking to you through the Holy Spirit. You're being led and directed throughout your day as the Lord speaks to you through his word, speaks to you through prayer. But there's that consistent communion with God through the day. So pray without ceasing. Why? Why pray? Why is it so important to pray without ceasing? Well, the first thing is, I would say, one of the first things is so that we can withstand the ways and things of darkness. Take your Bible and look over at Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. To be able to stand against darkness. To stay in a consistent attitude of prayer. To stay in a consistent situation where we're having fellowship with the Father. To be able to battle the things of this life, to be able to stand against darkness, being in a position of prayer. One of the many definitions of prayer is to ask with earnestness or zeal, as for a favor or something that's desirable. It also can mean to entreat or to supplicate, to implore, pray, implore, entreat with earnestness and zeal to the Lord. Here in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, Paul says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He goes on to say in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, and against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. When we're in these positions and battles daily with the enemy, it is important again to be in that position of prayer that the Lord would sustain you and help you as you wrestle against these things. Verse 13, Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, where you should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of spirit, which is the word of God. And look what he says after the sentence continues after verse 17 into verse 18. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of spirit, which is the word of God. As you take the helmet of salvation and the word of God, the sword of spirit, he goes on to say, praying, entreating, supplicating always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. The sentence continues on to verse 19, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So we pray without ceasing, so that we put on the full armor of God, we're able to stand against the ways of the enemy, to stand against darkness. But we pray always, as he says in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching. As we're in a state of prayer, as we're in a state of supplicating in the Spirit, we're watching with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We need to pray without ceasing, that we stay in a consistent state of watchfulness. A consistent state of watchfulness. And also a state that we would have boldness to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. To persevere, to watch, to pray, and to have boldness to say what needs to be said when it needs to be said. Why? Because there's going to be times where you're going to have to say something, or the Lord's imploring you to say something, but you're not going to want to say it because of the attacks of the enemy. I don't know about you, but there's been times where I know the Lord's dealt with me about giving somebody a track. Like, it is impressed. Like, talk to this person about me. Give them the gospel. Tell them what I've done for you. There's been times in my life, not all the time, but there's been times where it has been impressed upon me, go over there and give that lady or that man a track. Give him a track. And I believe all the hounds of hell come in and say, no, now's not the time. No, they're going to yell at you. No, they're going to say no. They're not going to want to have what you're trying to give them. And I believe Paul battled those same things, because Paul requests the church, he says, pray. Pray always with all prayer and supplications. And he says in verse 19, and for me, Paul says, pray for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly. Paul's saying, I need prayers that I'll open my mouth boldly when I need to speak the things of God. Why? Because the devil doesn't want us to speak the things of God. The devil doesn't want us talking about Jesus Christ. The devil doesn't want us talking about what God's done for us in our life. The devil doesn't want us testifying of how good God's been to us, or how thankful we are for the things that God's done for us, or grateful. The devil wants us to keep our mouth shut when it comes to those things, rather than taking the opportunity when it provides itself and speaking boldly of what the Lord has done for us. It's easy to talk to people and say, I'm thankful to God for things. It's a little bit, at least for me, it's a little bit more difficult to say, I thank Jesus Christ for what's done for me. There's a little bit something different when you mention the name of Jesus, or say, Jesus, I'm thankful for Jesus Christ and what he's done for me. It's a little bit easier for me to say, well, I'm thankful for what God's done to me. But when you make it specific and say, Jesus, it's like everything starts coming in on you, because I believe there's power in the name of Jesus Christ. There's power in that name, and there's something different about that name. So Paul says, pray without ceasing to those in Thessalonica. Here in Ephesians, he tells the church towards the end, praying always with all prayer and supplications, so that you watch with perseverance, you're bold to proclaim what God's done for you. But another reason why we need to be in a consistent state of prayer or pray without ceasing, having that fellowship and that communication with the Lord. You see, you can entreat, you can supplicate, and you can talk with the Lord without having to close your eyes. You can be driving down the road and be and having fellowship with the Lord. There's been many a time on some long drives just having fellowship, sometimes some of the best fellowship between myself and the Lord, just in there in that car, and God, come on in and do something for me. Why I'm in a car? And you don't drive your car with your eyes shut, or else I wouldn't advise it, because you're not going to go very far. So don't pray in your car with your eyes shut, but you can pray with your eyes open. You can, what prayer, to me, what prayer is a time like we do at church to where maybe we kneel down or we all close our eyes and an individual entreats the Lord for us. But to me, prayer is even more than that. Prayer is a way of life. Prayer to me is fellowship with the Lord. Prayer is, I know that the Lord's speaking to me and I have opportunity to speak to Him and that He hears me. This consistent state of prayer is important, because take your Bible and look at Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 44. Matthew chapter 5, and let's look at verse 43. Matthew 5, 43. Why should one pray without ceasing? Or be in that attitude of prayer always. Look at Matthew chapter 5 and verse 43. This is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking here to the multitudes. And He says, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy." Which makes sense. It would make sense, the Lord. You know, you would think you would love your neighbor, those that are around you, and that you would hate those that hate you. You would think that be rightfully so. But the Lord says, you've heard that it's been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But look what He says in verse 44. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray. The Lord says, Jesus says, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Oh, that's a hard verse right there, son. How quick and how easy it is to tear someone down. That's easy to do. It's very easy to tear other individuals down and pull them down and criticize and critique and do all these things when Jesus says, pray for those that are your enemies. That's not Preacher Chris saying it. Bible saying, the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, pray for them that despitefully use you. It's like, Lord, how can I pray for someone that despitefully uses me? Rather, I would rather hate them. I would rather hate them with a great hatred, because they're despitefully using me, Lord. Ought not I to hate them? They're my enemy. And Jesus says, you ought to bless them that curse you. You ought to do good to them that hate you. And you ought to pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. Isn't that what the Lord's done for us this evening? Doesn't the Lord love us who are unlovable? Doesn't the Lord show us good to those that aren't good? Doesn't the Lord do good to us when we've despitefully used Him? And yet the Lord did well for us. Jesus Christ was willing to die for us. So Jesus says to His disciples and to the multitude, He says, I want you to pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Verse 45, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. But look what the Lord says next in verse 46. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Basically, the Lord's saying, if you say, well, I love people, but I only love people that love me. Well, the Lord's saying, well, what reward is that? Obviously, you're going to hopefully love those that love you, because it's easy to reciprocate, because They're loving you, and it's easy to love back. But the Lord Jesus goes on to say, do not even the publicans the same? Don't the publicans love them that love them, and they love them as well? And it says in verse 47, and if you salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Look what he says in verse 48. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. I don't believe that perfect in that sense is sinless perfection. I don't think Jesus is saying, I want you to be sinlessly perfect as you go forward in this life, trying to do these things that I'm telling you to do here on the Sermon on the Mount. I think what the Lord's talking about here when it talks about perfect is being complete. Being complete and walking and having fellowship with the Father, so that when someone like your enemy persecutes you, hates you, speaks deceitfully against you, Jesus, when those things happen to us, Jesus says, I want you to pray that you're in the right spirit and you handle it. You don't reciprocate what's being reciprocated to you. If evil has been shown you, overcome evil with good. What does he say to do to your enemies? He says, do good to them that persecute you. Love your enemies. And Jesus says, if you do so, you'll heap coals of fire on their head. You imagine if your enemy comes at you and he's expecting you to be mad just right back him, and instead you give him some water to drink, you give him some food to eat, you say, is there any way that I can help you? Your enemy's going to go crazy. They're going to be like, what's the matter with you? I hate you, you hate me. Why are you treating me right when you know I hate you? Well, I'm treating you right because the Lord says to treat you right. The Lord says I ought to love you even though you might hate me. And I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you that God gets a hold of your heart so that you can have what I have, peace with God. I'm not going to let my enemy destroy me and my walk with the Lord. Jesus says, pray for them to rightfully use you. So not only should we pray for our enemies and pray for boldness and pray to stand against the wiles of the devil and for perseverance and watching, we ought to pray for deliverance. We ought to pray for deliverance. If there's something we're struggling with, we ought to pray to the Lord, I believe, for deliverance. Look at Matthew chapter 17. Matthew 17, 21. Praying for deliverance. Now, how I'm going to look at this evening is any type of deliverance, any type of struggle, any type of battle that we might be going for. We're going to see how we can find relief, I think, in some difficult situations. By Matthew 17, 21. In Matthew 17, 21, we find in the beginning of the chapter how the Lord took James and John and them and Peter, and they went up to the Mount of Transfiguration where he was transfigured before them. And as they come back down the mountain, back to the multitudes, back to his other disciples, they get down there to the bottom, and his disciples had troubles casting out a devil out of a kid, a son. It says in verse 15, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is and sore vexed. This young man's son, it says here in Matthew 7:15, had some serious problems, some serious issues. He was a lunatic. He was sore vexed, and his situation was so bad in a spiritual sense that spirit was casting him oftentimes into the fire and oft into the water. And this man brought his son in this situation to the disciples. And the Bible says in verse 16 that they couldn't cure him. They couldn't help him. And then Jesus shows up on the scene, and he says in verse 18, and Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. Now, I'm not going to get in and talk about what happened here, but I want you to see in verse 21, his disciples asked him a question like, well, Lord, why couldn't we cast this devil out? Why couldn't we help this young son? And Jesus says in verse 21, howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. You see, there's something there to where when you fast, to where you fast and you're in an attitude of prayer, there's something there with power with God to where deliverance can be found in only this type of situation. What I mean by that is, the deliverance can only occur when prayer and fasting are occurring. This devil that this child had, that they referred to him as a lunatic, he was sore vexed, he was thrown about by this evil spirit. Jesus said, deliverance can only be had but by prayer and fasting. So tonight, I'd like to just put this in here. If there's something we're struggling with, maybe we need to add the fasting in along with the prayer to find a deliverance and the help that we're looking for. Prayer is also needed for labor. Take your Bible, look over at Matthew 9, verse 38. Prayer and fasting, praying for our enemies, praying for boldness. Jesus said here in Matthew 9, 36 and 37 and 38, we'll read verse 37. Matthew 9, 37, then saith he to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Jesus says in verse 38, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. Pray, being in an attitude of prayer, pray without ceasing. And one of the things we can pray and entreat the Lord for, as he says to his disciples there, is that the Lord would send out laborers into the field to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Those, pray for those that are out there laboring, trying to bring individuals and souls to the knowledge of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Pray for laborers. Last thing here, pray to resist temptations. Look at Mark 14, 38. Why should one pray without ceasing? So that we don't enter into temptations, or the ability to resist the temptations. Look at Mark chapter 14 and verse 38. Mark 14, verse 38. Mark 14, 38. Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane praying to the Father. And towards the end of the prayer here, as he's praying and going back and forth between the other disciples that were with him there, Peter and the others that were there, as he pulled them aside, he says in verse 38, watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. Jesus said to his disciples, he says, listen, I know that you want to be here for me. I know you want to support me. Peter, I believe, was in Peter's heart to go with the Lord, to the cross, to die with the Lord, so to speak. But Peter was found sleeping. He could not watch 1 hour with the Lord. And Jesus comes to him and he says, watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Watch and pray, lest you get yourself in a situation of temptation. What are we tempted to do sometimes that's against what God would have us do? I'm not talking about some type of great wickedness or sin out there in the world as being tempted to drink alcohol, or some may struggle with that. I'm talking about temptations within the spirit. A temptation to not be thankful. A temptation to want to murmur. A temptation to want to complain. A temptation to want to have malice, a temptation to let envy dwell within our heart. This Bible says, watch, Jesus, watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready. If you're saved, you desire to do right. I hope you desire to do right. But the Lord says the spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. So we ought to pray that we don't enter into temptations, but that we do the will of the Father. And I'm not going to get into that tonight, but that's basically what's going on here in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus is getting to the point to where he says, nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. Doing the Father's will. And Jesus is in the garden praying about it. And he finally says, pray that you don't enter into temptations. So as I finish up this evening, we see some things that we should pray for or pray with as far as how we ought to pray about certain things. But in what way or how should we pray? Let me just put it that way. One of the ways we should pray is in secret and in a solitary place. Look at Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Mark 1:35. This can be hard to do in some instances, but I think it's important that we pray in secret, or we pray in a solitary place. Look at Mark chapter 1 and verse 34. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. The Bible shows us here that Jesus, and the work that he was doing while he was here on this earth, he had a lot of things that he was dealing with and handling. And the Son of God and the Son of Man needed to have special time alone with prayer with the Father. So much so that Jesus, the Bible shows here, rose up a great while before it was day, and he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there he prayed. The importance of praying in secret. Flip over, if you will, a couple chapters to chapter 6 and verse 46. Chapter 6, verse 46. Here again, the Lord just got done feeding 5,000, he sent the multitudes away. And in Mark 6:46, the Bible says, and when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. Departed off into a mountain to pray. Going into a solitary place to pray. That's important for our prayer life. So when we get into that solitary place, or that place to where there's no distractions, or the most minimal place, or the most minimal distractions for us. Once we get into a place of solitary prayer, we need to pray with purpose. Look over at Matthew 6. So being in a solitary place, once we're there, we need to then try to pray with purpose. I don't know about you, brethren, but one of the hardest things to do, I believe, in a Christian walk is to pray. To have effectual, fervent prayer life, to me personally, it might be different for you, but for me it is one of the most difficult things to do. It always seems like when you're getting ready to go pray sometimes, or you feel like you should go pray, that something else comes into your mind that you feel like you got to deal with at that moment. Like you got to go answer that email, or a text come in, or you got to go make a phone call, or anything but going to pray. So when we do get a chance to go pray, we ought to pray with purpose. Matthew chapter 6, verse 7. But when ye pray, Jesus said, he says, but when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do. For they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. Jesus says, don't be like the heathen do. It's kind of like Islam. They pray five times a day. And you go over there into one of those countries. When I was over there in the military, you would hear them praying over the, and they had the speakers up on the buildings. And there were certain times of the day that where everybody stopped basically what they were doing, and those prayers would start coming over those speakers for the whole city. You could hear it from miles. It was blasted through the speaker system from the mosque. These prayers that were being offered up to Allah. And it was just like, it's the same repetition of a prayer that they say. It ain't in there praying from their heart to Allah. It's a specific prayer that they pray. And Jesus says here, he says, listen, don't be like the heathen do, that they just pray with their vain repetitions five times a day. We're going to say the specific prayer, and we're going to do it towards God. Now, they're doing it to a false god, a pagan god. But Jesus is saying here, I believe God wants us to pray from the heart and with purpose. Lord, I'm engaged here as I'm praying. I'm not just going through a wish list checklist of what I'm wanting you to answer for me. I'm having fellowship with you in my prayer life. Hopefully you're talking with me and I'm talking with you. Sometimes prayer is just being quiet. Being still and letting the Lord speak to your heart. But sometimes we might get a little impatient and think that if God doesn't speak to us within the first 5 minutes of praying, that He's not going to speak to us at all. He might not get in there and start speaking to us till 20, 25, 30 minutes in, and then the Lord starts putting things upon your heart. Pray with purpose. Pray to stay in the will of the Father. Pray with belief. Pray with forgiveness in your heart. Pray with a readiness and alertness, for we know not the time of our Lord's return. Look at Mark chapter 13, verse 32. Mark 13, 32. Pray with a readiness and an alertness. Mark 13, 32. Mark 13, 32. Mark 13, 32. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch, and pray, for ye know not when the time is. This principle shown in Scriptures of two words that sometimes are often together when it's associated with prayer, watching. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Verse 35, watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even or at midnight or at the cock crowing or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Pray with a readiness and alertness, for we know not when our Lord may return. Lastly, I want to close with this story. I believe that the Lord desires not only to pray with belief, but also pray with a prayer of faith, knowing that the Lord hears our prayers. Look at Luke chapter 1 as we close up tonight. Look at Luke chapter 1, praying with faith, knowing that the Lord hears our prayers. The Lord hears the prayers of His saints. Luke chapter 1, and look at verse number 5. Luke 1, 5, the story of Zacharias and Elizabeth. Luke 1, verse 5, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abiah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. I would say so, if you're in there praying and offering up that incense on that altar. All of a sudden an angel appears to Zacharias. And the Bible says in verse 13, but the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias. Look what he says next, the angel says. He says, fear not, for thy prayer is heard. What we find here in the Bible here with Zacharias and Elizabeth, the Bible says that they were righteous individuals before God. Both him and his wife tried to live and lived faithfully, doing the things of God, all the commandments and the ordinances of the Lord. And the Bible refers to him as being blameless. not sinless, but blameless. Their heart was towards the things of God. They loved God. They tried to honor God. But unfortunately, the Bible says they were well stricken in years and they had no child. She was childless. And I believe as we read this story that Elizabeth desired to have a child, and I believe Zacharias did as well. I believe it was in both of their hearts to have a child. Yet unfortunately, the Lord had not allowed it to occur. Yet all of a sudden, when they're well stricken in years, and Zacharias is doing his course of action as a priest and bringing in the incense with that on that altar, he's in there praying to the Lord, and all of a sudden this angel appears to him, and he gets scared. He's troubled, and fear falls upon him. And the angel says to Zacharias, don't be afraid. Your prayer is heard. Your prayer is heard, Zacharias. He says in verse 13, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. You think Zacharias would be like, glory to God, praise the Lord, my prayer has been answered, we're going to have a child. Thank you, Lord, thank you for answering my prayer. But that's not what occurs. He has an angel tell him, your prayer's been heard. God's heard your prayer, and guess what? You're going to have a kid, and not only are you going to have a child, I'm going to tell you, the Lord's going to say what you're going to name him. You're going to name him John. Look what the Bible says next in verse 14. Thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall return to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Zacharias just got a bunch of instruction about what John, his son, is going to do. And look what Zacharias says in verse 18. And Zacharias said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. How am I going to know when you're telling me this truth? Because I'm old. And God doesn't hear the answers, or God doesn't answer a prayer of my situation that I'm in because I'm old, and I don't think the real Lord realizes how old I am and that we can't have children no more. He's reasoning with the angel that just told him God's answered his prayer. God's heard it, and God's answering the prayer that he prayed. And he questions, how shall I know this? He didn't believe. He didn't have faith to trust that God heard his prayer and God answered his prayer. And the Bible says in verse 19, the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. You want a sign, Zacharias, by how you know this is true? And behold, verse 20, and behold, thou shalt be dumb and not be able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. Zacharias was praying, but he was praying with a heart of unbelief. He was praying that God would give him a son, but he didn't believe God could give him a son, but he was praying that God would give him a son. Think about that for a moment. It's like the brethren over there in the book of Acts praying for Peter's deliverance out of prison. God answers that prayer. Peter comes to the door and they say, no. It can't be Peter. It's got to be his angel. They could put more faith and trust that an angel is standing at the gate rather than Peter himself, who they were praying for. It's like they were praying, but they really weren't praying. They were praying, but they didn't expect God to answer the prayer like they were praying that God would answer the prayer. The Lord, I believe, wants us to pray with a believing heart that if it be God's will, He can answer that prayer. Though it may be a very difficult prayer to be answered. But praying with belief that God, number one, hears, and then number two, if it's according to His will, He can answer that prayer, no matter how difficult it might be. Zacharias prayed, but he prayed with an unbelieving heart, so that when his prayer was heard, he still couldn't believe it. He still had a heart of unbelief, even though an angel was delivering the message to him. This is why in the day and hour that we live in as Christians, we walk by faith and not by sight. As we close up tonight, the Lord desires for us to be children of faith. We don't base our decisions on by what we see or what we feel or signs or wonders. We believe by faith that if it's according to God's will, He can answer that prayer that we're praying. And we pray with that same belief so that when it occurs, we don't say, well, oh, I don't know if that really happened. Rather, God would want us to rejoice in praising Him for answering our prayer. We've been praying on Wednesday night for a young man named Josh. I believed God's answered the prayer. They did an x-ray or however they examined, and they haven't found no cancer. Like, it's gone. Correct, Miss Sharon, right? Yes. So it's undetected. The words is, it's undetectable. So I shouldn't be like, well, I don't really believe it. I don't know. Maybe they should do another test. Well, weren't we praying that God would heal him and help him? Yes. So then let us rejoice and, Lord, thank you that you've answered the prayer, and right now it's undetectable. He's in a better spot now, I would believe, than if it was still detectable. I'm not very smart, but right now it's undetectable. Thank the Lord for that. God, I'm thankful for it. There were times where we're praying for situations, and when God answers them, let's be thankful for it and give Him the glory that He hears our prayers. I believe God hears our prayers. I believe it. And I believe God answers prayers according to His will. Let's give Him the glory and honor when He does and not doubt it or be skeptical of it or put a damper on it or a wet towel on it and say, well, you know, well, maybe thank God if He answers a prayer. So Paul says to pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. There's power in prayer, and God desires for us to be about in our lives in a consistent attitude of prayer and communication and communion with Him through prayer, which He's provided for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity tonight. Lord, I thank you for these brethren coming back out again this evening. Lord, I thank you for this little short portion of Scripture. God, I pray you'd help us in our prayer life. Lord, I pray that you'd, Lord, as I pray, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be in an attitude of prayer even more, dear Lord. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Lord, help us, even at times, Lord, I pray to add fasting in with the praying. Lord, help us to spend time in a solitary place, Lord, a place apart from noise and distraction. Dear God, that we can have fellowship with you in an attitude of prayer. Lord, help us to pray with belief. Lord, help us to not enter into temptations. Lord, help us, Lord, to pray for our enemies. Lord, for those that despitefully use us, dear God, help us to pray with a forgiving heart, dear God. Lord, that we may be pleasing in your eyesight. So, Lord, we ask for your help in these areas tonight. And Lord, that we be able to apply them to our lives for your glory and for your honor and your praise. And we ask these things now in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray you dismiss us with your blessings. I pray you give us a safe trip back home. Watch over us on the roadways, Lord, those that have to drive. Lord, keep us safe. Keep us alert. And Lord, if it be your will, Father, you'll bring us back together again on Wednesday evening. And we ask these things now again in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen, brethren. Dismissed. Love you all. Lord willing, see you Wednesday. Amen.